Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Well, we're continuing on the study of the patriarchs, and we're certainly taking our time with this so that we can glean the most of it and so that we can learn life lessons from these people that are in the Bible, their accounts. And so we'll do a little bit of review tonight, but not all of it's going to be review. We have a lot to kind of unpack here. So last week we learned that during the time of the patriarchs, arranged marriages were actually the custom. This was the norm. This was the custom. A father would make the decision on behalf of his daughter. A father would literally give the bride away to someone that he believed should be her husband, according to what the family's agreement was. The young lady, the daughter, usually did not have a choice, okay? Interestingly, however, in the story of Isaac and Rebekah, we see that tradition and custom was not followed. Now, that's going to come into play tonight quite a bit. I'm going to say that again. Tradition and custom were not followed. We see that Abraham sent Eliezer, representing the Holy Spirit, to choose a bride for his son Isaac. Eliezer prayed. God revealed to him whom the girl was, the right girl. That absolutely did happen. It happened at a well, which also comes into play. And Eliezer had to receive permission from her father, as was the custom of the day. So he went to the home of her father. He and a few men and some 10 camels that we talked about, we won't tonight. He explained himself, and everything that happened was so powerful and so supernatural, and something so ordinary happened. When Eliezer spoke with Rebekah's father and brother, both of them, not God-fearing men, but both of them realized and recognized immediately that what had taken place at the well was God. It could only be God. These kind of things just don't happen like this. And they believed their daughter, so they knew that this was God. And Eliezer asked for permission, and they were prepared to give him permission to take Rebekah. But her mother and her brother decided we'd like her to stay here for about 10 days. But Eliezer, who represents the Holy Spirit, thought that's not a good idea. And this is where tradition gets broken. Now, I want to say something about that. He was right. Eliezer was 100% right, because this is representing the Holy Spirit trying to lead her out of a place of idol worship. Remember, they're back in Mesopotamia where Abraham came out of. And so now the Holy Spirit's trying to bring Rebekah out. But if you delay in coming out, and the Holy Spirit is leading you to the Lord, wanting to lead you to your Isaac, to Jesus, if you delay, chances are you're going to continue to be influenced into idol worship. But here's where tradition was broken, because Rebekah's father and brother, feeling this was God somehow, that in itself is a miracle, called for Rebekah herself, who ordinarily would not be consulted at all. And they asked her the powerful question that we talked about. Genesis 24:58 says, "And they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" Now, what we're talking about here when this verse is not, "Will you go with Isaac?" She hasn't met Isaac at all yet. "Will you go with Eliezer? Will you go? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you?" She would have to first follow him to get to her Isaac, and this took faith. And something that I noticed is Rebekah was actually leaving the same place that Abraham originally left, to go to Abraham's family. And I think that's a beautiful thought right there. And tradition is being broken when they ask her this question. But I want to say something about Eliezer representing the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit does not submit to our tradition or our customs, does he? Now, I'll say this. Maybe in your church, whatever church it is, certainly not this one, but in your church, maybe the custom is that you be quiet. Your worship is quiet, that you be quiet. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit doesn't have to follow your custom or tradition? His custom and his tradition may be to shout and dance. So, you know, the Holy Spirit will break custom and tradition off of us. Can somebody say amen to that? That we don't have to go by tradition. And so we all have to make that decision. Will we go by the leading of the Holy Spirit to serve Jesus? And will we allow him to leave us and take us out of the place that we're at? And so tonight, that's all the review. Tonight, we are going to begin chapter 25. And the very first verse says something kind of, I feel like it's humorous because that's just my warped sense of humor. It says in verse 1, then again, Abraham took a wife and her name was Keturah. Now, at this point, Abraham's approximately 137 or 138 years old. And his son, he's marrying off his son, and he gets his son, he's getting his son settled down and, you know, wants his son to have this wife. And then he probably thinks to himself, well, you know what? Maybe I'll get married again too. I mean, to me, that is just like, but God continues to let us bear fruit even in our old age. And so Isaac and Abraham are going to get married. Double weddings. Hey, what fun. And so Keturah, the new wife, has 6 sons with Abraham. So now we have 8 sons, which is just unreal. And so I guess to that I would say God isn't finished with your story. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. What God can do, he still was working supernaturally in his life. So I'm going to read Genesis 25, 5 to 7. And Abraham, now you're going to have to, there's so much in this one little passage, you're going to have to get this. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Now in that translation, it actually means most of what he had to Isaac, the bulk of it. And I'm going to explain what he did give and what he didn't give him, okay? But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, and that includes Keturah, by the way, Abraham gave gifts. There's a difference between inheritance and gifts, okay? And sent them away from Isaac his son. Hold that thought. Sent him away from Isaac his son, them. While he yet lived, hold that thought, while he lived, eastward unto the east country, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years, and that means 175 years. Now, this is all super interesting. First, when verse 5 states that Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, it's not literal. It means in English, he gave the inheritance to him, most of what he had. And again, I'm going to explain what he did get and what that they didn't get. He got something, Isaac got something very specific that they did not get. But I like that it says he gave the sons of his concubines gifts before he sent them away. And this is why I love it. He did not leave out these sons of concubines. And that was the right thing to do, by the way, because these were his sons. These are his sons. I don't care who the mother is. These are his sons. And if you father children, guys, you should take care of those children, no matter what the situation is, period. So he gave these 6 sons generous gifts because he's Abraham, right? And he's wealthy and he's giving good gifts. But he did several things that were very, very interesting. First of all, I find this interesting, and let's pull this over into today. It kind of actually helped my eyes come open. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, first, he gave them these gifts specifically. Every word in the Bible counts, right? You agree to that? Shake your head. Yes. Every word in the Bible counts. It says, while he was alive. Why? Usually in our day and time, the custom of today is to set up a will and you give the gifts after you die, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you the right way to do it is to give the gifts while you're alive. Boy, did this hit me. Because here's why. Let me explain this. This was wisdom Abraham had. Because it means, how many of you have ever, I do funerals with Dave Fisher all the time. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happens. People are fighting about money instantly. Instantly. What does the will say? What does the will say? Had it already been divided up and settled while the person was alive, there wouldn't be none of this, like who gets what and who does what. So the reason he did this while he was alive, because this means your children do not have any reason to fight over your money and your jewelry and your old clothes. It means that Sandra can just come and get our old dishes and our couch tonight. Just come take them. Just go. She already has access to the bank account, so it doesn't matter in my case. She can come get those bracelets like now, because that way, you know, take everything. Take the love seat too, because then there's no reason or excuse to fight. The mother, the father gave it to them while they were alive. So that was wisdom. And so Abraham gave every person what he felt was their rightful portion, but Isaac was the true heir. Now, there's a difference between an heir and what he did, and this was it. And you have to study it. You have to get your commentaries out and study it, because this is what he gave them gifts because he was going to send them away. They are his six sons by Keturah. They are not heirs. And here's the deal. What Isaac got that they did not get was land. He got all the land, and I mean all of it. This was his possession as rightful heir. How many of you know that land is very, very valuable and property? He got most of the estate, he got the land. They did not get land, hence the reason that he sent them away to another place eastward, to the east land from where he got Keturah in the first place, okay? And so they did not get the land, but Abraham was wealthy, and he took care of the sons because, again, they were his sons. But we are the sons of, and we are the heirs of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. You and I are the seed of Abraham, and we get the land. I can prove it to you in the Bible. What does the Bible say? Every place that your foot shall tread, I have given it to you as a possession. We are possessors of the land because as heirs, we're heirs to the promise. But I see this as such wisdom from Abraham. And here's the thing. These six sons probably had more than enough. But Abraham settled his estate and then he died. And the Bible says in verse 8 that he died of a good old age, which means he died satisfied. And I like that too, because the Bible says about us, with long life will I satisfy you. Do you know that that is a promise in the Word of God to you and I? With long life will I satisfy them. But we're going to continue on with verse 9 that says something interesting. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which was the family burial ground, by the way, that was bought from Ephron, the sons of Heth. And so his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him at Mamre. This was where their mother Sarah, where Isaac's mother Sarah, Hagar, was actually Ishmael's mother. But did you notice anything interesting or a bit unusual about verse 9 that says Isaac and Ishmael buried them? This speaks to the spirit of reconciliation. That at some point, likely commentators think, and I tend to agree with them, and here's why I agree with them. Because Abraham was very clear about settling his estate before he died with his sons and giving his sons things. And Ishmael came into this picture too. He was settling up with Ishmael also. And so at some point, Ishmael and Isaac were brought together again and were in such agreement that they were able to together bury their father Abraham, because the Bible calls it right here when it says, they buried their father Abraham. And I loved this. They buried him in the cave of Machpelah. And so there is so much there in just a short thing talking about the settling of the estate before he dies. And I just love this, because we see that something took place, and we don't know how it happened, but we do know that it did happen as they were doing that. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahai-Roi. Now, we all remember that the well of Lahai-Roi was actually named, and it means the well of the living one who sees me. It was Hagar. This was Hagar's well. This was Ishmael's mother. When she was crying out to God on behalf of her and her son going to die, God provided water from this well. The living one provides what kind of water? Living water. Living water. And so God showed himself to Hagar and sustained Ishmael. And now we see that this same well is sustaining Isaac, because he's going to settle down by the well. With Hagar and Ishmael, they drank of the well and they moved on. But I see something with Isaac. Isaac decides, I'm going to live by the well of the living one. I'm going to continually drink from this well. And that is a word to you and I. He settled down there. I'm going to drink from this well. And it wasn't temporary for him. Now, it was the well of God. In verses 13 to 16, as we continue, we see that the sons of Ishmael are named. And why is this important? It's important because we were told in Genesis 17 and 20, and God always keeps his promise, don't ever forget that, that from Ishmael, he made a promise to Hagar. By this well, he said, your son's going to have 12 sons, and they will be princes. And so the Bible names them here and calls them princes, which is a confirmation of the word. And I just love that, all the little details in the Bible. And we know that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, and Rebekah could not have children, as we continue on. And Isaac petitioned, requested, entreated, whatever word you want to use, they mean the same. He asked the Lord on behalf of his wife. He interceded. I choose to use the word interceded. The Bible uses the word entreated, but a deeper study of it says interceded for his wife, almost begging for his barren wife. And the Lord was entreated, meaning responded of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Verse 22 says, and the children, we notice plural here, struggled together inside of her, and she said, If this be so, in other words, if this is God, why am I like this? Why am I having a horrible pregnancy? Let me give it to you in lay terms. If this is God, why am I having such trouble in this pregnancy? When you ask God a question, he's going to answer you. I know this for a fact. So he answered and he told Rebecca, it's not just two children that are inside you, it's two nations. These nations are struggling inside of you. They're going to struggle. And he told her that the older one was going to serve the younger one. Usually it's the reverse, isn't it? The younger serves the older, but that the older is going to serve the younger. And I love how God spoke to her. And this was a prophecy. God was prophesying to Rebekah. And each of these children were different. Number one, we're going to talk about Esau. Esau was a hunter. And the Bible specifically says he was this big outdoor, hairy guy. He loved the outdoors. But Jacob was a plain man. Picture a suit, a guy who works at the office, and a hunter. They were opposite. They were opposite personalities, but twins. And we're about to be told in a few minutes about a problem that came up. And I will say this, as I see things from my perspective, every family has problems of some kind, period, in relationships. And if you say that you're not a family that has problems in relationship, you need to repent of your lying, your sinful, wicked lying, because you're trying to make us feel bad because we have problems in our family. Don't do that. Just tell us, I got problems too, and then I'll feel better. So verse 28 says, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Does anybody in this room see anything wrong with this statement? But Isaac, the father, loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. Problem number one. They are twins. One has become the dad's favorite, and one is the mother's favorite. Do you know, I kid you not, that just last night I was told a story about a twin that was favored over another twin. I kid you not. I used to think that twins are just, they're so close and the mother and father just love them equally. It didn't work that way. It still doesn't always work that way. One was the dad's favorite. One was the mother's favorite. But we even know the reason that Isaac, which is a huge mistake, by the way, Isaac loved Esau because Esau made him steaks because he ate of his venison. I mean, really? That's what the Bible says. He gave him venison, so he loved him more? That's not fair. But Jacob makes stew, soup, okay? And probably likely vegetable because Esau was a hunter. But some kind of potted, some kind of stew. Do, and Esau comes in from the field, and he was desperately hungry, probably been hunting all day long and hungry. And Esau makes a statement to his brother Jacob, who, keep in mind, they're twins, feed me, I beg you, some of that red pottage. Give me some of that pasta fagioli. I am faint. I can't take it anymore. Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. This is insane. This is totally insane. Your brother is hungry. You're his twin. And instead of feeding him and saying, no, that doesn't have to be the way, I'm just going to give you the soup, the stew. Jacob's name means supplanter. It means one who seizes things, one who takes. He's a taker. Jacob is a taker, a supplanter. He circumvents and he seizes. And he says, sell me your birthright. He wants Esau, his brother, his hunter brother, to give him his birthright, the rights of the heir, the rights of the firstborn, for literally a meal, a bowl of soup. And that seems to be a crazy request, isn't it? I would have said, have you lost your mind? Are you crazy? I'm not going to do that. But what's even crazier than the question is the answer to the question. It's a crazy request by Jacob, but what is even more foolish, and by the way, I think he knew that Esau could care less because the birthright would not come until later. You know, you make decisions based on, and this is a huge mistake for all of us, any of us, is to make decisions in the heat of the moment based on your emotion, when you're tired, when you're sick, when you're hungry, when you're all emotional. And here you're going to make a life-altering, changing decision right now, and it's going to be a stupid one. Without any advice, he didn't call the mother, he didn't call the father, he didn't get a hold of his pastor and say, is this a good idea? Instead, he decides, I'll give it to you. Give me the soup. That's all he wanted. That's crazy. That's crazy. I think that Jacob knew he set him up. Jacob set him up because he is another name for him is deceiver. He set him up because he kind of knew his personality. I want what I want. He knew he'd be hungry. So it was a crazy request, and he did a crazy thing. Verse 34 says, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentil. I like that he threw in the bread. He just asked for the pottage, but being the kind-hearted person that he is, he gets some bread too with it. And the Bible even, by the way, tells us, now, maybe you thought, we didn't know what kind of pottage is. Not so fast. Not so fast. Debbie, it is lentil soup. Debbie makes the best lentil soup on the earth, I have to tell you. And she's not going to make it for you because she makes it for me. But the Bible says it was lentils. It was lentils. And so, but I got to tell you, Debbie, as good as your lentil soup is, you can't have my portion in the kingdom. No. And she wouldn't ask for that. You know, it just wouldn't work like that. But the Bible says something interesting. You don't sell your inheritance, the inheritance of the Lord, no matter what someone gives you. So Esau eats and drinks, but the Bible says something interesting. After he eats and drinks, then he despised his birthright. He hated it. He literally turned against it. And acted like he didn't want that anymore. He did not even care anymore. It is a word of warning for you and I. God has great blessings for us. Don't sell out. Do not take it lightly. Don't trade the blessing of the Lord for the temporary things that this earth has to offer. Don't trade God's blessing for anything, because the day is going to come when you will surely regret it. Esau lived to regret that decision. And we're going to be studying that later. And chapter 6, 26 begins and says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar. Now, I want to tell you about the word Abimelech. The word Abimelech is a name for any any Philistine king. So when you see Abimelech, it's not the same Abimelech. This Abimelech right here is the great-grandfather of the other Abimelech. Just so you know, that's just a fact. Just so a little bit of trivia. But there was a famine. Abimelech means the king of a Philistine king was called Abimelech. And the technical term for Abimelech means father of the land. So Abimelech, any king, if you were a Philistine king, you were called Abimelech. And so Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and told him not to go down to Egypt. Same as Abraham. Just stay in the land where I will tell you, sojourn. Just you're going to stay here temporarily. You're just going to sojourn means temporary. And I'm going to bless you because I made that promise to Abraham. And God tells Isaac, I'm going to bless your seed as the stars of heaven. Does anybody think that sounds familiar? That's what he said to Abraham. And I really like this. I'm going to go back to what I shared with you during the study of Abraham. When God took Abraham outside and said, look up at the stars and the sun and the stars, and if you can count those stars, if you can, knowing that he could not. But there was a reason, I believe, that he did that, and this was just me talking to the Holy Spirit, and that's because the gods that they worshiped were the stars and the sun and the moon. So God was actually pointing out to Abraham, him having come out of idol worship, look at those stars. Now you start seeing if you can count them. In other words, those are my stars. Those are not idols. Those are my stars. And so now he's telling Isaac, giving him the same promise, because the promise is not just to us, is it? It's not just to Abraham, it's to our children and our children. Have you heard the song, The Blessing? I assume you have. I assume you all have The Blessing on your playlist. Children and children's children and children's to 1,000 generations, The Blessing. So Isaac is receiving the same promise. But here's what God tells him. God tells him he will multiply his seed as the stars of heaven, and all nations shall be blessed through him. And here's what he tells him. And this is such a word for us. Because Abraham, who's Isaac's father, obeyed my voice. And because Abraham, who's Isaac's father, kept my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. He's telling him, the reason that I'm blessing you, the reason I'm blessing you, Isaac, son, is because of what your father did. It's because of the choices your father made. That's why I'm blessing you. So let me tell you something about you and your children. Do you want your children to be blessed? Do you want them to receive the blessing? Well, then we're going to have to bless the Lord and keep his commandments and obey him, obey his voice and keep his statutes and laws. Because the reason we have, the reason you have some of the blessings that you have are because somebody out there prayed for you. It may be because your father and mother obeyed the Lord and the statutes of the Lord. It is for Pastor Ken and I know it is for so many of you, that you're receiving because of decisions and choices they made. So if you would be so kind to your children as to make the right choices to serve God, love God, honor God, and obey God, then what you're doing is setting them up to be blessed. And if you don't ever leave them one bracelet or one ring, you've left them the inheritance of the Lord. You have left them something so much more valuable that counts so much more. And that's what I want to do, because the old couch that you give them will soon be old. The car that you leave behind, they're going to drive it into the ground and you'll never know about it again. But what happens in the kingdom is so different. And verse 6 says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him about his wife. And he said, she is my sister. Don't you get tired of hearing that over and over? She's my sister. She's my sister. For he feared to say, she's my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Wow. He got blessings because of Abraham, but he also got something else. He got a little bit of fear passed down to him from the same person, Abraham. And so he feels that he is now at a disadvantage because he has a nice-looking wife, and so he has no choice but to lie like his father. Spirit of lying, pass it down. We don't have to wonder He didn't just think about this on his own. Do you believe that? He did not. Isaac was old enough to know what was going on in Abraham's day or what had happened. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to wonder how he learned this behavior. And because Abraham told us that every place him and Sarah went, that's what they said. Well, let me say something to about your children also. They're going to get the blessings that you obtain by serving the Lord. They're also going to get the other stuff that you need to deal with now. And I've said this in many a class. You need to deal with the giants in your life and the demons in your life, attitudes, call them whatever they are, addictions, attitudes. You need to deal with them now so your children don't have to. If you'll take out Goliath now, your children won't have to do it later. Because let me say something. You've heard the little phrase, the apple don't fall far from the tree. And there's a reason that that is a saying. And we are going to continue on with this next week. We're going to invite our praise team to come. I'm going to do one more verse. This next verse, I will tell you that Isaac kind of got by with this lie for quite a while. The Bible actually says that, okay? Here's what verse 6 says. And it came to pass when he had been there for a long time. Do you know that you can get by with something for a long time? That Abimelech, king of the Philistines, not just one of the people of the king himself looks out a window and he sees Isaac caressing his wife, Rebecca, being familiar with his wife. And he knew immediately, because if you did that to someone who wasn't your wife, in those days, you paid with your life. If she wasn't your wife, you paid with your life. And so he knew that that was his wife and that there was more to this interacting than a brother-sister relationship. And so he's going to call Isaac, and he's going to call him on the carpet. And again, I just find it so interesting that sometimes these Philistine kings, you know, sometimes the world acts better than the church. On occasion, you will see this. Somebody will say, and I've heard it, people say, well, I just don't understand it. That person claims to be a Christian. And they're right to say that, by the way, because we should be held to a higher standard. We should not say, she is my sister if she is my wife. We should trust God enough to speak the truth. And this is where we're going to continue on next week with the story of Isaac. But he is a powerful man of God, just like his father Abraham. And God uses him, and God can use the imperfect. I always say, can God use liars and thieves and cheaters and drunkards? We better hope so. We better hope so, because he doesn't have any perfect people to use.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.